From Micah 5. The Lord says, Bethlehem, you are one of the smallest towns in Judah, but out of you I will bring a ruler for Israel, whose family line goes back to ancient times. So the Lord will abandon his people to their enemies until the woman who is to give birth has her son. Then those Israelites who are in exile will be reunited with their own people. When he comes, he will rule his people with the strength that comes from the Lord and with the majesty of the Lord God himself. His people will live in safety because people all over the earth will acknowledge his greatness, and he will bring peace.
From Luke 2. There were some shepherds in that part of the country who were spending the night in the fields, taking care of their flocks. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone over them. They were terribly afraid. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I am here with good news for you, which will bring great joy to all the people. This very day in David's town, your Savior was born, Christ the Lord. And this is what will prove it to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great army of heaven's angels appeared with the angels, singing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them back into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and saw the baby lying in the manger. When the shepherds saw him, they told them what the angel had said about the child. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said. Mary remembered all these things and thought deeply about them. The shepherds went back singing praises to God for all they had heard and seen. It had been just as the angel had told them. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning, my church family. So good to see you. Roy, you're getting ready to leave us for the military. We love you. I want us to pray right now as a congregation for you. Would you come down here for a moment, please? Just come down to the front. We live in a dangerous world, and Roy has signed up to make us a little safer in the midst of it. Phil? Come and stand with him if you would, please. Bobby on the other side. Bobby, if you'll come and stand on the other side. Deborah is Roy's mama, and she misses her boy. He hasn't left home yet. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we love you. We praise you that you are the God of good and that you bring about good. We praise you that you are the Lord of peace. I pray in Jesus' name, O Lord, that you will be with all of our women and men around the world who are serving in our military. Lord, I pray that the day will come when indeed we will take the weapons of war and beat them into implements of agriculture. But until that day, O God, we ask you in Jesus' name to protect those who battle. And remind us, O Lord, that there is not an enemy in the world of ours that you don't love as much as you love us. Teach us to find that in our hearts. And Lord, we pray especially today for Roy Wills. We love Roy. We've known him since he was a little boy, and now he's a man. And now he prepares to protect us. And we ask you, O God, please, O God, in Jesus' name, protect him. Through Christ our Savior. Amen. We love you, Roy. Do you folks remember when Roy was young and scrawny? I'm glad I was nice to him back then, you know. By the way, Iva Lee Ellenberg has sent word. She was in this room moments ago, Oh, it's been found? Okay, good, good. Okay, never mind that. Ivalee had lost some of her frilly unmentionables, and she just wanted me to announce that this morning. If you've not had the opportunity yet to go to our lobbies up and downstairs, go and take a look. Splendid people in our church throughout all of our buildings have just done an amazing job this year. And you're missing something extraordinary if you don't take a few moments to go and just stand in gratitude and silence and appreciate what God is doing in the midst of us in these places. I hope you'll do that. I truly, truly do. Tonight, I want you to come back at 7 o'clock and be with us in this room because we're going to have our Eve of the Eve service. It's always a high water mark for the entire year of liturgy and worship, and I pray you'll be here. And there's a really good chance, not certainty, but a really good chance that if you're here tonight, you will have a perspective of Mary, the mother of Jesus, that you've not had before. I'll leave it at that. I hope to see you at 7. God bless you if you can come. And I pray that you might invite others to join you. It is an old story, supposedly a true one. A church and a small community is having their annual Christmas pageant. They've been doing it for more than 50 years. For about 35 of those years, it has always gone off to perfection because of Mrs. Williams, the pageant director. She was a perfectionist. She would settle for nothing less, perfect lines, perfect pacing, perfect everything. Mrs. Williams did not like to fiddle around much with new cast members. She typically kept the same children year after year, evolving a couple out who were getting older and bringing a couple in who were younger, but that she had already tried and tested to make sure they were the best of the best dramatically. Year after year, it was pretty much the same kids, same play, same perfection. It was Mrs. Williams who said, when there are too many youngsters, there's no control. But something changed. In the little town, a big industry moved in. And when it did, it brought more jobs than the little town could supply. More people moved in. Young families moved in. Young families bringing with them their young children. And for the first year or two, they didn't balk too much because they were too new. But it was not long before the people who were new to the church began to make their way onto the administrative committees and boards of the church. And one of the first changes this new blood in the church brought was a new rule. It read this way: all children who wish to be in the Christmas pageant may do so. Parts will be found for all of them. Well, not surprisingly, this was more than Mrs. Williams could handle. She immediately resigned in anger and in disgust. She also assumed that her resignation would mean there would be no Christmas pageant. Not so fast. The new play was to go about in epic proportions. There were 20 shepherds, 18 angels, 24 sheep, 6 camels, 5 donkeys, and probably a partridge in a pear tree. But there was only one Mary and one Joseph. Joseph actually was a stand-in who was put in the night of the pageant. The other Joseph got sick and couldn't be there. So as he and his betrothed Mary began to make their way down the middle aisle of the church, it was dimly lit, candlelight everywhere. The church was packed to overflowing, as you can imagine. The narrator of the play said, "So Mary, who was pregnant, At this, Joseph stopped dead in his tracks, middle aisle, and said with no little bit of disgust in his voice, "Pregnant? When was I going to find out about this?" Well, the church erupted like you just did, except for Mrs. Williams. She sat there in absolute disgust, looked over at the pastor's wife, who was this year's pageant director, and mouthed to her, "I told you so." The pastor's wife, to get the show back on track, looked at the children and then at the congregation gathered, and she said, "Well, you know, that probably is a little bit like it was when Joseph first found out." Something happened. In fact, the church declared that something miraculous happened. The tiniest of the tiny children who participated in the play were all angels, non-speaking parts. And so when the pastor's wife was able to get them back on track, here they came down that same middle aisle, but when they got two-thirds of the way down on the right where Mrs. Williams was sitting, they bunched in around her. Several of them climbed up into her lap. Mrs. Edna Jackson, who was the eldest member of the church at 99 years old and had long ago lost her hearing, looked over at her 78-year-old daughter seated beside her and said, well, she meant to say, "Perfect. Just perfect." Instead, she said, "Perfect. Just perfect." And the angels of heaven sang. And as it turns out, the pastor's wife was very likely completely right. It was probably that kind of chaotic night in the beginning. 2,000 years ago, confusion everywhere. Joseph and Mary in a town likely they had spent very little, if any, time in. They're in a borrowed barn that smelled like a barn, surrounded by no humans, just barn animals. When suddenly humans showed up. But they were not who you might expect to show up at the birth of the King of Kings. Instead, they were shepherds. Every society has a pecking order. Every one of them. Ours does. None of us should, all of us do. 2,000 years ago, in the pecking order, the lowest of the low were lepers, those battling leprosy. Just above them were shepherds who got no respect from anybody. And yet, on this confusing night, the God of all gods, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, made his first birth announcement, not to those who dwelled in palaces or fine homes, but to shepherds. You and I come from noble stock. You and I are a part of a family of God in which the highest is no different than the lowest, the wisest loved no more than the dullest, the wealthiest respected not a smidgen more than the poorest. shepherds. Living among sheep, I suspect that they smelled like sheep. They fit in very well in that barn, don't you think? They were outcasts. They were used to being told that there was no room in the inn for them. But here they were at the precipice of human history. God becoming a human being. God becoming sod. Ashes to ashes. It was to them that God brought the first good news. When they got that message, they dropped everything they were doing and they immediately did what the angels told them to do. It all makes me wonder, who are the angels that God has put into my life to tell me something that God is up to, that without them, I may not get the full story? Do I see them even when they stand directly in front of me, or am I going through life so busily that they are a blur, or worse, they are a wall, an obstacle? In the last few years, and I'm sorry it's taken so long, I've witnessed God speaking to me, sending shepherds to me in many forms, very often through the homeless. They hold up their little signs, "We'll work for food," and for years, I tried my best to make no eye contact. But something changes when you do make eye contact. Something happens when you look at them and they look at you. God speaks to me. I hear voices. So there I stand, Joe. Do you see me? For was it not Jesus who said that he will be present in the least of these? Well, yeah, Joe, but he didn't mean, you know, those guys, they're just going to take your dollar bill and go out and buy dope or drink or something like that. That's not my problem. If they do that, that's on them. My issue is, do I see them in the first place? Do I have eyes to behold what may be God's shepherds standing right in front of me? Every time I take time to interact with the lowly, I learn something from God. Every single time. It happens every week. When I walk into McDonald's or Bojangles to buy somebody a meal, you know, meet me down there, and they do, and I go in and I buy them something. I'll sit at the table with them, and every single time they teach me something I did not know. Joe, that's very melodramatic, but you know it's not literally true. It is literally true. Every time I let a shepherd become a shepherd, they come to me with good news. 2 weeks ago, I happened to be in my front yard with my dog, Tucker, as the garbage truck was coming up through the neighborhood. It had not been there the week before because of the snow. So I was really glad to hear that coming up the street. I grabbed Tucker up. We went into the house. I closed the door, and I went back out in the yard, and I was picking up sticks that the snow had broken off of the trees. I heard it making its stops, and then I could see it, and the closer it got, eventually, it was coming toward my house, and I smiled and waved at the driver and the man hanging on in the back. You and I call them garbage men. It is a good profession. It is an honorable profession. It is an honest living. But how awful to be known as a garbage man. Well, I thought our friendly wave and smile would be the end of it. A young African-American man came and he grabbed our can and he began to roll it toward the truck, heavier than usual, for it held 2 weeks' worth of the refuse that the Yeltons no longer wanted. We had discarded it. He picked it up and dumped it into the truck and put the can down, and then he did a double take. His eyes went back to what was lying in the back of the truck he was on. And I saw him move a couple of things out of the way. Now, I can't see into the back. It's forward of me. But I can see him. And he reaches in, and he pulls out an old porcelain plate. I'm the one that had thrown it away. Now, my family's in a little bit of amazement because they didn't think I could throw anything away. Frankly, I was a little surprised. It was chipped all around the edges. It was one of a kind. It was not expensive or an antique or anything. It's just an old porcelain plate. And he stopped and he took his hand and he cleared it and he looked at it and he held it and he walked over into the yard with me and he said, "Can I have this?" Well, sure. Yeah, of course you can. And without asking, he went on to explain that his grandmother, who had raised him, who he loved, who was now with God, and he would go into Christmas this year for the first time ever without her, had a plate on the wall of her home very much like that plate. He actually said that it was identical. I said, "It's very obvious your grandmother meant a great deal to you." "Oh, my grandmother meant everything to me. We talked on for what couldn't have been more than 15 or 20 additional seconds. And then he said, "Well, I got to get back to work." I said, "Come here." And I wrapped my arms around that man. And he wrapped his arms around me. And we hugged. My shepherd and me. Who had taught me without meaning to what I needed to learn, that God speaks to us through the strangest of objects in the most unforeseen of places. Who are the shepherds God is sending into your world? Is it the guy who cleans out your septic tank? Was it the migrant worker who picked the apples that you've been enjoying since fall? Who are God's shepherds that you need to make eye contact with? What message do you think they have for you? What would change about you? What would change about me if we would stop and pay attention to what's right in front of us? What would happen if we stopped looking through people and actually saw them? Can I tell you what would happen? Love would happen. Turns out, I didn't know it 3 weeks ago, but it turns out I love a garbage man. And I'm so sorry I've spent the majority of my life looking through instead of looking to. It was C.S. Lewis who said, "Be careful when you love. Love is a dangerous thing." In fact, the only place, C.S. Lewis says, that you can avoid the dangers of love is hell. For there is no love there. What is it that the angels said to the shepherds 2,000 years ago? "Behold, I bring you great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to him, to you. You will find him in no palace, in no beautiful crib. You will not even see him laying in soft and silky sheets. You will find him in a barn, in a feed trough. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." That's the good news. When those shepherds showed up at the stable, there are two ways to look at what Joseph and Mary's reaction to them may have been. Either Joseph and Mary were startled to see them because they knew the status and story of shepherds, or, and this is what I choose to believe, Joseph and Mary looked as these shepherds, however many there were, we do not know, as these shepherds walked into their borrowed barn. And Mary looked at Joseph and said, "I don't know why they're here, but I'll bet once again God is getting ready to surprise us." God, forgive me for overlooking the shepherds that have stood directly in front of me. God, forgive me. I am so sorry. And I won't be perfect at it, but I will do a better job than I've done. Why? Well, turns out shepherds at one time were little babies too. And as it turns out, babies change everything. Even us, if we allow them. Heavenly Father, change us. Don't leave us where you found us. Teach us the expensive way to go through life, loving. Teach us to take the risk of the dangers of love. Teach us to stop trying to figure it all out and to simply trust, believing in the mystical and the mystery in which you constantly make your way into our lives. Help us to see you as you stand right in front of us. In Jesus' name, amen.